Welcome to a new episode of EVA India Insights podcast, part of our Energy Transition Dialogue series, where we explore the clean energy transformations shaping India's sustainable future. I'm your host, Pallavi, and in today's episode, we are diving into the evolving world of green steel, a critical enabler of India's decarbonization journey. From the growing demand for sustainable materials to the impact of government policy, technological innovation, and investment, we'll explore what it will take to build a scalable, low-carbon steel industry in India. Joining me is Kapil Bansal, partner at EY Parthenon, who leads the firm's energy transition and decarbonization practice, and has also recently co-authored the EY report, Unlocking Green Steel Demand, in collaboration with Worldwide Fund India and CII Green Business Center. Kapil, thank you so much for joining us today.
Pleasure is all mine. Thank you, Pallavi, for having this podcast along with me.
Thank you. So, Kapil, to start off with a very basic question, what exactly is a green steel and why is it so critical to India's decarbonization energy?
Thank you for asking that question, Pallavi. By definition, green steel, depending upon the geography that you're looking, has different definition from a perspective of CO2 emission per ton of CO2 per ton of crude steel. From an India standpoint of view, Ministry of Steel has defined 3-star, 4-star and 5-star rated green steel. A 5-star rated green steel is anywhere between 2 to 2.2 tons of CO2 per ton of crude steel. 4-star is anywhere between 1.6 to 2 tons of CO2 per ton of crude steel, and anything less than 1.6 ton of CO2 per ton of crude steel is considered as 5-star green steel. So green steel is defined as per the emission intensity of the manufacturing across scope 1 and 2 emissions. And why it is critical from an Indian decarbonization journey is because as per our Honorable Prime Minister in Glasgow, he has committed that India will become net zero by 2070. And to become net zero, steel sector constitutes almost 10% of India's emission. So at least a decade or two decades earlier, the India decarbonization journey has to start. And that's why green steel is a predominant process through which the green steel adoption will happen within the steel manufacturing and then its adoption with the end users.
Thank you, Kapil. Now, focusing to our report, green steel demand is expected to rise significantly by 2030. So according to you, what factors are driving this demand in India?
So based upon our report, if you look at by 2030, green steel demand will rise up to 4.49 million metric tons of green steel. And this demand is primarily coming from three sectors, which is construction, infrastructure, and automotive. Now, if I look from a construction and infrastructure, those are driven by the government policies, making it going to be, or these policies coming from government to make it mandatory to use green steel as a part of their overall government procurement process. From auto sector, most of the companies are looking towards becoming net zero anywhere between 2030 to 2040. And as you've seen the development of EVs, electric vehicles, there is a concept called ZEVs, which is zero emission vehicles. Under that policy, the automotive sectors are going to adopt green steel, which is roughly around 40% of the cost of any automotive, whether from two-wheeler, three-wheeler, passenger cars to long-haul multi-vehicle commercial vehicles. All of those needs green steel as a part of their future growth. So in short, construction more from the government mandates, automotive more from the consumer side of the things, and the auto industry is following the green steel norm. And then finally, there is another policy which talks about EPR, extended producer responsibility. Under that, the producers are supposed to reduce their emissions through circularity, where the low carbon or scrap steel would be utilized, which is also considered under the new norm of green steel.
Thank you, Kapil. Now, in line with the government's ambition, how is the government policy, such as the hydrogen mission or the green hydrogen incentives, impacting the entire green steel ecosystem?
So, first of all, from our first white paper that was released, that talked about green steel production pathways. In that, there were two different pathways that were defined. One was through green hydrogen based DRI plant, and the second was through scrap based EF route, in which, if I look from the first production pathway, which is green hydrogen based DRI process, the green hydrogen is going to come through one of the incentives coming from the National Green Hydrogen Mission, in which government has allocated pilot projects through which green hydrogen can be utilized in the DRI pilot projects to generate green steel. And that's why one of those policies under the Green Hydrogen Mission would suffice the need of the Ministry of Steel to do pilots and R&D projects to manufacture green steel using green hydrogen in a DRI plant. Now, these DRI technologies are obviously coming from international collaboration, and those international collaborations are done through three opportunities or three EY clients through which we are looking towards generating green steel, and those are in the public domain.
Thank you, Kapil. Now, pivoting towards the technology perspective, what role does technology play in enabling the production of green steel? And are we seeing real-time innovation in this space?
So I'll break technology into two parts. One is the steelmaking technology, and the second is the adoption of AI and other information technologies, data technologies through which the green steel can be produced. If I talk from an steel manufacturing technology, I already explained in my previous question that there are two different technology pathways through which green steel can be manufactured. One is the green hydrogen based DRI plant, and another is scrap based EF plant. In both the cases, the green steel that is coming is within the defined green steel nomenclature and the emission standards. In terms of its real-time innovation, obviously we are seeing some of the plants in the Europe, such as Strega from Sweden and SSAB, which have fully adopted these green hydrogen-based DRI plants. And in India, we have seen a few more examples coming out using renewable energy through which the scrap would be converted back into the steel, are the potential production pathways for green steel. And those are the real-time innovations happening. Beyond that, in the brownfield projects, there are a lot of newer technologies that are getting adopted, such as renewables, AI, and other, through which the emissions or also carbon capture technologies that are coming, through which the green steel nomenclature could be fulfilled. But then that would need certain capital investment, and those capital investments at this point in time are not giving the requisite IRRs to make it the project within the requisite span of in money currently.
Thank you, Kapil. Now, what are the challenges industries face when transitioning from a conventional to a green steel production?
So challenges are obviously on the four different dimensions. One dimension which we discuss is on the technological readiness. So some of these technologies are at a pilot to a certain initial commercial level, not at a full-blown scale commercialization. So that is the number one challenge. Number two challenge is the regulatory compliance is not harmonized, and it is not penalized for companies to adopt it. Third is the demand has not yet picked up to the level through which the investments can be justified. The fourth element is market doesn't have the requisite capital towards building the green steel manufacturing process. And all put together, obviously there is lack of skills and capabilities to help in transitioning from a conventional business to a green steel production business.
Thank you, Kapil. Now, from an investment perspective, according to you, what it will take to build a scalable and a commercially viable green steel industry in India?
So, currently, when we look for any green steel viable project at a scalable level, we are talking about at least 1 million metric tons of green steel. And for that, we are looking for capital investment on the green hydrogen space, on the renewable space, on the whole new greenfield establishment of a green steel. This would need any capital of anywhere between $2.5 to $3 billion for renewable capacity development. There would be a need of $1.5 to $2 billion in the green hydrogen space. And then for a 1 million MMTPA kind of a steel plant, you would need another $2 billion to $4 billion of investment, depending upon the quality of raw material, which is the iron ore or the scrap, which is available. Based upon that, these kind of investments are required for a scalable, commercial, viable green steel project in India from a green hydrogen to DRI-based plant.
Thank you, Kapil. That's incredibly insightful. Thank you for walking us through the green steel's implications, growth drivers, challenges, and what India needs to build scale.
My pleasure, Pallavi. Thanks for having me for this discussion.
Thank you, Kapil. And to all our listeners, thanks for tuning in. Until next time, let's continue to work forward towards a cleaner and greener India. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel for more conversations on energy transition and sustainability.